on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers. This is InvestTalk, above average investing for the average investor. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition, July 9th, of InvestTalk. I appreciate you being with me, and we thank you for trusting me with this hour of your time. And I'll try to respond to your questions the best I can. And I'm really available 24 hours a day via our website for any questions. You can call toll-free the listener line, of course, but you can email me if you're faced with a money decision, you need some help, or bounce some information off of. Well, that I'm hoping you'll use me as a resource. And if you want to send me an email and ask a question through the email, not call, you can do that. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Contact Justin if you want to ask him. And we will respond directly to you by email if that's what you prefer. I do schedule my time each day, every day, to answer those, usually pretty early in the morning. So if you have those kinds of questions, there are plenty of things in the news of the day that get your worry glands going. Lots to worry about. Sometimes all the news turns out to be a bunch of noise, and it gets harder and harder to think about or to focus on managing your money. So I urge you to stay focused on your long-range goals and not lose sleep over the choppy market, what's going on. It's just not very healthy to do. There's no reason to do it that way, you know, other than making yourself upset. And if that's the case, that means you have too much exposure to the market. You shouldn't be worrying about it. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be aware of what's going on. I think you should be. But as an investor, you still need to decide on a proper allocation of your money among stocks, bonds, money market accounts, gold, commodity, whatever it is. You still got to think about the proper allocation based on your own personal preferences and the goals that you've established. Establish goals, establish a strategy, learn how to implement the strategy. It's that simple. And that's what I do for clients. Now, keeping your portfolio balanced is another important object. If that's the goal that you're having, you want a balanced portfolio, because not everybody wants one of those, but many people do. That means that you have to think about it. So, for instance, if you have a balance of 60% stocks and 40% cash and bonds, and that's the balance you want, and if the stock market takes off, your balance is going to go out of whack. It'll go 70% stocks and 30% bonds and cash. So you have to rebalance every so often. So that's what that means about rebalancing and balancing your portfolio. That's what we're talking about. Now, would you like to know more about rebalancing or anything else? Well, give me a call. 888-99-CHART is our number. We'll take this question now from our 24-hour listener line.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Chris from Louisville. I have a real estate question for you guys. I have about $100,000 equity in my home and was looking at investing that into a buy-and-hold rental property. It's a really good investment opportunity. But wanted to get your take on using existing equity in your personal residence to fund a real estate investment opportunity. Thanks, and enjoy your show.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. That's the way I did it. That's how I did it. I bought my first property, and I borrowed against that first property to buy the second one, and borrowed against the first property again to buy a third one, and I got up to about six different properties that way. And that's exactly what I did. And what I would do is, since it was a lot cheaper to borrow the money on your residential property you live in, I would always borrow the money out of that, buy the rental property, and then what I would do is put all that money to pay down the loan that I have on my original house, and then borrow again once I had enough equity to do that. And I got up to, you know, six properties before I sold them. Remember, I told many people, I told this very often, I sold them all in the summer of 2004. That's when I sold all my rental properties. But I think it's a very good idea. I don't have a problem with taking money out of your home to buy an asset. I do have a problem taking the money out of your home and spending it, and taking it out of your home thinking you're buying an asset and you go out and buy a brand new car. That's not an asset. A car is not an asset, everybody. It depreciates. It doesn't appreciate. I think of assets as things that appreciate, and a rental property will appreciate. Okay? So I think it's a good idea. I don't have a problem with that. Just be sure when you buy something, you buy a good location. Location, location, location. It's all that matters in real estate. The high cost of investing like a daredevil, extreme investing, is not a good thing. That's going to be one of our talking points today. We're going to discuss that. I wanted to talk about the China market again a little bit. I mean, it's amazing what's going on there. And I didn't get to the three types of cycles that could spell a crash for our market. And there's three of them, and I'm going to ask the question, are any one of these three lined up? If they all three are happening at one time, we're going to have a big crash. But are any one of them lined up for us, for our market? So we're going to talk about that. When should you take Social Security? We didn't get to that yesterday. We'll get to it today. And also, China's stock market crash is just beginning, according to an article I read. And I want to share it with you. And then I read one right after that that said by the end of the year, the China stock market will be back up 30%. So, just so you know, I like to read both sides of the argument from different writers, different people, different news organizations, because no one has the right answer. Everybody has an answer that many times they think is right, but no one really has the answer. So we're going to talk about that. And if we get to it, five horrifying ways airlines are making flying worse. What are they going to do to us next? I read this. I thought, I got to share this. So that's what we're going to talk about. We got a big day today to talk about. What happened in the market? Well, the market really has started off the day really well. I mean, it was up big at the beginning of the day. Then for most of the day, it trickled down. It trickled down most of the day. The Dow ended up, the market was up by the end of the day, but the Dow was up 33 points instead of the 175 plus that it was in the early hours. The NASDAQ up 13, the S&P up 5. So it gave back most of its gains for the day. Now remember, this is after a pretty good down day yesterday. We're now in the, let me see how many, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, about 13 days. So 2 weeks, tomorrow will be 2 weeks, of a turn down from a close to peak in the market again. This has been happening all year. The market is down for the year. The S&P 500 is down probably 2% or so. The index, the NASDAQ, is the only one that's still up for the year, but it's losing most of that gain. Dow's down, the S&P is down, most of the indexes are down. Not a great deal. You really can't say we're in a correction yet. I mean, it feels like it. Feels like it because we had a couple of big down days, a 300 down day last week, 300 points in the Dow, then yesterday, 200 points in the, I mean, it feels like it, but it really isn't a correction, and I don't think we're going to head into a bear market. Correction, very possible. I think we're in a type of correction now, but you know, we'll see how deep it gets. There's really no fundamental reasons, and you know, earnings season started, and I have a feeling you're going to get a lot of earnings that are going to beat their expectations a lot, because expectations are so very low. So how good the earnings are, you know, in and of themselves, that's another question. But there are going to be a lot of beats of expectations, you know. And so because the expectation has been pushed down so far, and that's going to feel like it's looking good. I don't know if that will result in a rally. I don't know. If you're an InvestTalk insider, to have a key to a whole library of recorded webinars is very gratifying. I think it's very informational for you. So if you want to become an InvestTalk insider, you can. We just had a recent article about global investing there. There are 11 of these articles there. To become an InvestTalk insider, just go to InvestTalk.com, and no investment required. You don't have to be, it's free. You don't have to pay anything. Check in now with your questions about your 401k choices or any money matter at 888-99-CHART.
Hello, this is Josh calling from Seattle. I had a quick question about investing in China. I was looking at the ASHR ETF, China Stock Index A-Shares, and just looking to kind of dollar cost my average my way into that, buying in low increments for the long term. Wonder if that's a good way to do that. Once again, that ETF is ASHR. And if you could talk generally just about, a little bit about investing in China right now. Thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, China is going to survive, everybody. Their market is crashing, has been crashing. It's down 30-plus percent, depending on which index you're talking about. But long-term, it will recover. But the only reason why it's crashing now is because it was got a lot of speculation. I mean, it was up over 100, 150% in a year. Now, in a month or 3 weeks, a little over 3 weeks, it's down 30%. Just like our stocks, just like any stocks, you get too excited about something, it will eventually come back down to earth. Now, when do you step in? That's really the question. Because this ETF, ASHR, is the Deutsches China 300 ETF. Okay, so the question is, when do you start getting back in, or should you get into the market? Now, he'd mentioned dollar cost averaging. That's a good way to do it because no one knows exactly when it will hit bottom. I'm gonna go over an article today that says the crashes of the market, of China's market, just started, and they think it could get 50% more or more by the end of the year. Well, but at some point, year, 2 years, 3 years down the road, the market, it will recover. It will. But you don't want to be too anxious yet. I think it's too early. I don't know where the bottom is. This index bounced today up because China is working very hard to try to save that market. The government, I'm thinking that some of the things they're doing are pretty crazy, and I'm going to talk about that today. But don't be in a big rush to get back into this market. Not yet. Not now. It's still at the, its correction only lasts 3 weeks so far. Average long, in the U.S., a correction would be 3 to 8 weeks. I mean, maybe 12 weeks of just a correction. So, we'll see. It's going to start chattering at some point, at a certain low. You let it chatter for a while. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. By the way, just so we get this out of the way, the Chinese market, on Monday I was going to talk about how many stocks have stopped trading. And then I didn't get to it, but then I got to it yesterday, and it's now, as of yesterday, it was 900 stocks. Today, it's 1,400 stocks have suspended trading. I don't understand the thinking here. Now, these stocks are not being suspended by the government. They've taken themselves off the market, just the trading, not off the market, just the trading stopped. Because they think that that will slow them down or stop the bleeding. They can't stay off the market forever, but let's think of yourself as an investor in the Chinese market. How much faith are you going to have in it now? If a stock can be halted in trading anytime it wants, that means you can't get out anytime you want. Is that going to give them much faith? So now you have a property market that has really come down. Now you have a stock market that's really come down for the Chinese people. Where are they going to go next? And speaking of getting your portfolio back in balance, see how I did that? I will be meeting with a limited number of listeners at our San Jose satellite office on Wednesday, July 15th. That's next Wednesday. To save your spot, just go to investtalk.com and click on Make an Appointment. It was a pretty bad segue, wasn't it? Anyways, right now on this July 9th, we're ready to take your money questions, any of many questions you might have. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. You can get through with me through to Invest Talk right now.
Thanks again for subscribing to our podcast. These funds invest in a mix of stocks and bonds. Is their popularity warranted? Hybrid mutual funds. That's our talking point for Friday, July 10th's podcast. We hope you'll be with us then.
888-99-CHART, the high cost of investing like a daredevil. There has been study after study, and this is what we've been doing with our 401k program here at KPP Financial, and that is to try to educate people about trying to time the market. Study after study after study has shown that that fails. If you're investing in a 401k, don't try to get in and out and in and out, because you can't do it. Can you do it physically? You can, but you will lose. You will not make very much money. And it has shown that people who run their own 401ks consistently underperform the market by more than 50%, 50% over any length of time. Because they stop and they start, they stop and they start, and they're trying to time the market one way or another. It's best to just keep putting money in year after month after, every paycheck, more, just keep buying. And when you get close to retirement, within 5 years or so of retirement, then you need to start taking a look at it. I'm not saying you never look at your 401k. Of course you do. But don't get out. You can reposition. You can rebalance. But people get out. Or they stop investing altogether because the market's been going down. Then they start up again after it's already gone up. It's crazy. And this is one of the main reasons why people lose money, because they try to time the market. I mean, you can just talk, you know, all you do is listen to Warren Buffett. He never gets out. He likes to buy and hold forever. That's his plan. Now, he does sell. Don't think he doesn't. He does. And he does reposition. He does. But his ultimate goal when he buys something, his plan is to keep it forever. His plan doesn't always work out, but that's his plan. And that's the way you should go into it as well. I mean, if your horizon is 20 years or more, you should be extremely aggressive. Buying, you know, in your 401k plans, buy the most aggressive funds you can find. I mean, it's okay. You just got to, but see, my problem is people can't take the pressure when it starts to go down. You lose 50% of your money. How do you feel about that? Most people can't handle that. So it's very difficult, and I understand it. Emotions play a big part in the market, and it's very difficult for people to overcome that. Let's go talk to James in San Francisco. He wants to talk about oil stocks. How you doing, James?
Oh, hi, Steve. My question is, what do you think about oil? What is the, say, the three-month prognosis? Do you think it'll go lower?
It will if they sign an Iran deal. If the U.S. government and Iran sign, you know, actually six countries in Iran, if they sign a deal, that's going to release a lot of oil, or at least the prospect of a lot of oil onto the market, and it's going to drive oil prices down lower. But I will say this, James. I think they're pretty close to the low that they're going to be. But if you ask me, in 3 months, can they go lower? Yeah, they can. But I think we're getting close to where it will stabilize. And I'm thinking between $45 and $60, it's going to stabilize in that range somewhere. But can it go lower than 45? Of course. I mean, I don't know if you remember, James, but in the recession, it went down to, what, $30 or something? $35 a barrel? So it can go down.
Oh,
there.
Yeah.
But I don't think it will, but it can go down there. I think it's close to where it probably will stabilize, you know, $50 or so. But I think it's going to travel between 45 and 65, so somewhere in that range for the next few years. I don't think it's going to go back up to 100. Okay?
Oh, okay.
Appreciate the call,
yeah,
James.
Thank you.
Now, should you be buying oil stocks? I think this is a good time to be buying some, you know, when the oil prices go down and, you know, you're looking at companies like Chevron, ExxonMobil, BP, those big blue chippies. You know, it's a good place to pick up something that's paying a really nice dividend. You know, if you just not worry about it. I mean, if you look at, I'm not suggesting you buy ExxonMobil. It's not a recommendation. But it pays a 3.6% dividend right now, and it's at $81.60. So, you know, they're going to, maybe it's a good deal. Sales have been going down because the price is going down. Sales are not going down because they're not selling the same amount of oil. They're selling the same amount or more, but the price has gone down, so it looks like their sales are going down. Well, it is because the price is down. I mean, if you look at Chevron, let me take a quick look at that. What's their dividend? Their dividend is 4.6%. So, you know, I mean, you know, all those people are looking for dividend-paying stocks. You should be looking at these. You know, long-term, they will increase their dividends. They will continue to grow their sales. There'll be slow growth eventually. Oil prices will recover eventually. While you're waiting for that, if you own Chevron, you get 4.6%. Just ignore the price for the next 10 years. And guess what? You'll make 4.6% a year, and the price will be much higher in 10 years, the stock price. How can that be wrong? I'm not telling you to bet the farm. I did notice recently an insider made a big purchase of Chevron. Glad you're with us today. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. We're going to go ahead and talk to Ken, who's in San Jose and wants to talk about United States Steel Corporation. How are you doing, Ken?
Oh, good. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was wondering, is it a good time to get into it right now because it's below $20?
Well, I don't think so, not yet, because it just broke its previous low, which is around $20.50 or so. Now it's at $18.93. I think you want to wait until it trades sideways a bit. But I think it's getting very close, Ken. It's getting close to where you want to be a buyer of this stock. It looks like there's a lot of support right around, about $16.50 to $17. I think it may go there. And I don't think you need to be in a big rush to jump in. Let's wait till it trades, starts to move up. Give it a few days where it starts to move up on you, and then be a buyer of it. But it is getting to a point where you want to be looking at it. Yeah, I would say yes. Now, it's only going to make $1.08 next year per share. So that means it's at $18, $19 stock. So it's $18.19 PE. So it's not that cheap based on that. So don't think it's cheap just because it's below $20. It's only any stock, every stock, Ken, is only cheap in relationship to how much money it's going to make per share. And at $18 and making $1 a share and at $18 a share, that means the PE price earnings ratio at being 18, that's not cheap for this stock. But, I do think it's getting pretty close to where it'll stop falling. Thanks for the call, Ken. That was United Steels Corporation, everybody. United States Steel Corporation. X is the symbol. X. 888-99-CHART. Okay, there's three major cycles that, if they ever coincide, we're looking at a bear market, okay? And they do coincide. But let's talk about one individually. I mean, all three individually and see if are we there. The first one is the business cycle, where if you see corporations hoarding cash and not reinvesting their cash, that's a danger signal because they're getting nervous. And I will say this, there are companies that are doing that. We might be in that situation. So that's the first thing you want to look at. Are the businesses reinvesting in their businesses, building factories or whatever, or are they hoarding cash? Number two, consumers. For consumers, do we have weak job growth and is sentiment falling? Is spending starting to slow? And the answer to that is no. Consumers do we have pretty decent job growth and they are spending. They're not spending. It's not dramatic, but they are spending. And number three, soaring interest rates. Do we have big interest rates rising? Do we have massive debt out there? Is the economy weakening? The answer is no. Do we have massive debt? Yeah, we have a lot of debt. Governmental debt. Not corporate debt. Not a lot. And interest rates are nowhere near rising or getting to an extreme of any kind. So I don't think this cycle here is in play. I really don't. Yeah, we have problems. You know, I can see that the corporations are not reinvesting too heavily in their own businesses because they're worried about world economic growth. But are not necessarily. They are. There might be evidence of some of them hoarding cash, and that's the strongest of those three things that might be a problem. But none of them are extreme or they're not coinciding necessarily. So I don't think you really need to worry about it too much so far. We want to make the most of the money you've already earned and get it working for you, at least working harder for you, not sitting in the money market or CDs because you can't get anything out of that. But try to anyway. That's the goal. You want to be financially independent. We all do. So let's work on that together. Check in now at 888-99-CHART.
Good morning, Steve and Justin. This is Sean again from New York. I love your show. I was listening to one of your previous podcasts. Steve was explaining the aftermarket trading and that market doesn't really close at 4 o'clock at Eastern Standard Time. And some people can still keep trading. But how come individual investors cannot trade after that time? Or at least I don't know how to do it. So basically, what does closing time refer to if people can still trade after market closing? And if there's any way for individual investors to continue trading after 4 o'clock Eastern time. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, you could if you're big enough. Yeah, because most of the after-hour tradings are done between big corporations. But the average person couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it because you need an active working market. There has been many discussions about having the market stay open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and never close. There's been lots of discussion of that so that anybody could trade. But right now, it's usually institutions trading amongst themselves a lot. One institution wanting to buy a couple million shares all at one time. And, you can trade after hours. There's nothing to stop you, an individual, from selling your shares to the guy down the street, your 100 shares of XYZ company to the guy down the street, and then you got to just report it and register it on the next day when the market's open. Nothing's stopping you from selling shares. You own them. You can sell them anytime you want to. But it's not very convenient. Remember, they don't even issue stock certificates anymore. It's rare that stock certificates. Used to be you had to, when the infancy of the market, stock certificates had to exchange hands. Yeah, so it's just not there anymore. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So when should you take Social Security early? I have talked about waiting longer, and that's the smartest thing to do, is to take it late, and you're 70 and years old, because between your full retirement age, which is 66 or 67, and between that age and 70, you make 8% more, 8% more per year. And so when you retire, I have mine right here, that it says I'll make $2,462 a month at my full retirement age, but if I wait till I am, where is that? If I wait till I am 70, I get 3,000, where's that number, of course. You never notice when you really want something right away, you just can't, your eye does not go to it. You ever notice that? Very frustrating. But anyways, I'll make a little over 3,000 something a month. So heck yeah, that's a pretty good bump. And then it's a tax. Think of the cost of living. If cost of living goes up 2%, well, raising 2% on 2,462 versus over 3,000, that's a lot more money. See, so you really, over the long run, that's what you do. But when should you take it early? And the simple answer is when you have to. You need the money. That's a simple answer. when you have to, you need the money. That's the only time. But make sure it's a need, not what I want. When else should you take it early? When you're in poor health. You have a disease that's incurable, or your chances of living a long life are slim. Well, then you can start thinking about taking it early. Because, you know, the longer you live at taking it later, the more money you'll make. But if you're not going to live a long life, and, you know, that's always a tough thing to know. But those really are the really only two reasons, because you need it and because you're not going to live long. It's only two reasons. Anyways, that's Social Security, taking it early. 888-99-CHART, our phone is always open to your questions. We're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're a new investor or an experienced, it doesn't matter. You can call anytime.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Chris Reed from Louisville, Kentucky. Wanted to get your all's take on Fitbit. That's ticker FIT. Been a lot of hype with the new IPO that happened around June. And just want to get your all's take on it. I know there's not a lot to go on for fundamentals or technical analysis, but want to get your all's take if you all would find a buy point for that. So once again, it's Fitbit, F-I-T. That's your all's podcast.
Fitbit is, I don't know if everybody knows about it, but it is a new IPO. It came out at $20 a share. It's now $42. IPO came out June 18th. It's now July, 9th? And it's gone from IPO price of $20 to $42. I think you're too late to the party. Wait for it to pull back. But I think it's a great concept. They develop wearable connected health and fitness trackers and mobile apps that are wireless and sync with its devices. This is what the Apple Watch should be moving toward. And there's where your danger is for this company. Competition from somebody like Apple. Right now, they're growing hugely, 200% a quarter sales. They're making money. They're going to make they made 64 cents last year. They're going to make 70 cents a share this year, 90 cents a share next year. So it's been a pretty hot item because it's growing so fast. I would be very, very careful. It was up 51 cents today, by the way. I'd be very, very careful. Yeah, I think it's a great company. I like what they do. They're an $8.6 billion company doing about $1 billion a year in sales. So 8-to-1 price to sales ratio is pretty high, but not terribly high. But it's very popular right now. It's just pretty risky at this point. But I like the concept, wearable connected health and fitness trackers. Okay, health and fitness. And that's what the iWatch should be incorporating. And I have a feeling that's where they're going to go. And then Fitbit is going to have some stuff. It's really tough competition. But before that happens, looks pretty good to me. 888-99-CHART. Let's see if we can answer another listener line question. Robert called from San Diego.
Hi. I'm interested in commodities, in particular the metals. So I'm wondering if there are any ETFs that would deal with metals like copper and zinc and maybe some precious metals thrown in. Thank you.
Well, the ETF for gold is GLD, which tracks 10% of the value of gold. That's what it's supposed to do. The ETF for silver is SLV. Now, there are other ETFs that track. Those are the two precious metal ones I know off the top of my head, but I know there's lots of others. There are lots of ETFs. You can go to Google and just Google it, and I'm sure you'll find a number of ETFs that will tell you for whatever other metals you're looking for. You might not find something for a metal that's not very popular, like zinc. You know, zinc is but copper you would, but maybe not zinc. But you will find a metals ETF, you know, for all the metals, and maybe metals ETF excluding precious metals too. So I'm there's so many coming out all the time. I have a feeling they're out there somewhere. So yeah. 888-992-4278. Now, Europe has given Greece a deadline again by the end of this week, by Sunday, that Greece has to come up with a more comprehensive plan to try to come to an agreement for to get money. This is the problem. You know, if you lived in Greece, you realize you're not allowed to get more than 60 or 65 euros out a day of your account. I read today that Greece, the banks in Greece, will be out of euros, physically out of euros, not have any more euros in the banks by the end of tomorrow. And some of them will be out by next week, but some of them will be out by tomorrow. That means they don't have any euros to pay their citizens. Why don't they have them? Well, because the central bank there, the European Central Bank, is not giving them any euros. It's not loaning them any euros. It's not going to, you know, they're not going to give them any more because it's a lending situation. And they're saying, hey, you know, we already lent you enough. So the citizens, what are you going to do if you want to go to your bank and you want to get money out? Banks are closed. You don't have any access to your money. This may push Greece out of the euro. They may start say, well, we'll start printing drachmas instead, and we'll use that as our money. Then what will happen when you go and take your money out? Well, you won't be able to take it out in euros anymore. You'll take it out in drachmas. Well, how many drachmas per euro? You see how this can work? That's going to really be painful for those people who put money in the faith in their bank. And this is all because of their government not want to comply with what their previous agreements with the ECB and IMF. They don't want to comply with them because it's put them in put Greece in a recession, a perpetual recession. And you can understand the thinking on Greece's part, but this is what happens when you are a debtor and you're begging for money from other people. And this is the path I worry about for the United States. You're a debtor nation. You can't pay your bills. You can't pay your bills. At some point, someone's going to stop lending you money. We do have another couple of questions. The lines are always open for you. So if you have one, we have time for it, give us a call. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you can reach me right now at 888-99-CHART. I'll do my best to answer your questions on InvestTalk.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk. Our podcast distribution is made possible each day by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. Did you know you can access a link to a related article associated with each day's main talking point? Also, you can click back to listings for the last 10 InvestTalk episodes, each listing the topics and stocks discussed. Just go to investtalk.com.
888-992-4278. We're going to go talk to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan? Want to talk about precious metals? How you doing?
Hi, Steve. With the drop going on in gold and silver, currently the pullback, right. I was wondering, which would you go into? I'm looking at taking a small position in either GGN, and you know that's the ETF. Wow. I know you've played with that before.
I have.
Or I was thinking a small silver miner, HL, Hecla Silver. Would you go with?
Well, to be honest, I go with Hecla. The reason why I say that is because I own it.
Oh, okay.
Hecla Mining Company engaged in mining and development of gold, silver, zinc, and lead properties in the United States and Mexico. Their sales have been falling, not because of less sales, but because of the price of what they're selling. Right. They're going to lose money this year and then turn around next year. They're going to make 3 cents next year per share. The stock is $2.41, and it doesn't have hardly any debt. The mutual funds have been very steady holding on to it.
Yep.
So I think, you know, if you're patient, now you're going to have to be patient, Dan. We're going to have to be patient. I think gold and silver have been bottoming for some time. It's not been a very good investment. but it's going to be their turn in a not too distant future. And I don't know if you know what's going on in China, but China is trying to become a center. China being a very big consumer of gold, they're trying to be move the center of where gold is priced to China rather than in the United States or in London, because
yeah,
they
I just
actually
read that article.
Did you read that recent article? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, if they did that, Dan, gold would immediately go up. Immediately. If that happens. Now, I think it might happen because they are a big consumer of gold, much bigger than the United States and London. And why shouldn't they be pricing the gold in their markets? You know?
Yep.
So.
Okay, so you'd go with Hecla over GGN in the dividend, huh?
Yeah, I think so. GGN is good because of the, you know, how they make that dividend, and I played with this myself, and they make a really nice dividend, and they do it by selling options, and they collect the premiums, and that's how they do the dividends. But if you want, you know, so I do like that concept, and I played with that company and accepting that dividend, and they actually do pay it. But if you want to play more of the gold increase in price, you'd probably do better with Hecla.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Thanks, Dan. Of course, I'm not a big gold person, everybody. I'm not. I even though I own a couple of positions on it, those are my speculative positions. Speculative. I mean, speculative. Not something I would own long-term necessarily. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. I want to talk about the horrifying ways airlines are making flying worse. Well, we all know how crowded they are. You know how difficult it is. There's no service anymore, basically, except you get a soda and some peanuts. And it's really, but here's some of the ideas that they are putting forth they would like to do. Shrinking and eliminating the bathrooms. That where they could put a couple more seats there. Getting rid of the bathrooms. And you're going to say, how can I get rid of the bathrooms? Well, maybe on the short flights, you know, to Vegas, or from here to Vegas is what, 45 minutes? Maybe from here to San Francisco, Bay Area, hour and 10 minutes? Okay, that's possible. Shrinking the leg room further. Now, I don't know about you, but my knees are bumping up about a half an inch away from the seat in front of me, so I guess I can give up another half an inch. But what if you're, I'm 5'11", maybe 5'10 and a half now that I'm shrinking as I get old. What if you're 6'4"? Okay, how about this one? Getting rid of the armrests. Okay, those armrests are what, an inch and a half wide? So even if you got rid of them, can you squeeze in another seat? Anyways, won't that be pleasant? We're out of time for today. If you have more questions, use our 24-hour listener line. Get your question to me and I'll answer it, I promise, on the next Invest Talk, or I'll answer you through the email if you send me an email. Go to investtalk.com, click on Contact Steve. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and for Justin Klein, everyone at KPP Financial, I want to thank you for listening today, and I hope you enjoy your evening, and again, we'll be here tomorrow, same time.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.